This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and you are listening to Season 5 of the Floor Rejects podcast, The Isle of Artemisia.
Welcome back to the Floor Rejects podcast. This is Jonathan, your friendly neighborhood author. If you're new here, every week I read to you a chapter from a story I'm writing. This season is The Isle of Artemisia. If you're just tuning in, you missed last week or something like that. Last we left off, Barrett and Anaxos found a boat at the other's camp. They took the boat around, but unfortunately were caught by Elliot and a couple of the others. And they stopped them on the boat. Elliot gave Anaxos an ultimatum, either give up your lover or give up the plant. And Anaxos chose the plant. And so he jumped off the side of the boat, left Barrett with Elliot. Elliot basically said, you can have the boat, you can go, we don't need you. We have the plant back, and that's all that's important. And that's kind of where we left off. Barrett was toying with or considering who he was going to save, his friends or Anaxos, who he was going to go after first. So let's pick up where we left off. Chapter 23, On the Horizon. Barrett knows what he has to do. He has no choice. He literally had the answer in the palm of his hand, now idling away in the water. He looks down the beach. He can see the three lost little figures sitting there, unaware that their rescue is puttering downwind a few thousand feet. He turns the rudder, steering the boat towards them. He sees as they notice his presence, sees as Crystal and Daniel stand. Nick stands too, but as the boat draws near, he bolts into the forest away from the others. Crystal and Daniel don't seem to notice, mesmerized as the boat pulls up in the shallows near them. Barrett cuts the motor and turns to the front of the boat, slapping the winch control and watching as the anchor plummets into the water with a sick thud. He then leaps over the side, splashing into the water and quickly wading to shore. Crystal comes running to meet him, the surf splashing around her feet as she pulls him from the surf. How? She asks incredulously, her eyes wide as Barrett nearly collapses on the beach, the adrenaline draining from his body. It doesn't matter. We got it. You have to get on that boat and get back to shore, Barrett instructs them. Crystal wastes no time, wading out into the surf towards the boat, ignoring Barrett altogether. Daniel stands there staring at Barrett, then at the boat, then back at Barrett. Barrett grows weary of the man's indecisiveness. Go, he says, and Barrett walks up to the shore. Daniel turns around in the water. Where are you going? He asks, and Barrett shakes his head. The others took Anaxos. I have to go get him. Just find Nick, Barrett tells Daniel, who looks back at Crystal, who's now standing on the bow of the ship, staring down at them impatiently. Come on, she yells, her foot tapping on the deck. Barrett could almost laugh at her petulance. What about Nick? Barrett yells back. She shrugs. We'll come back for him too, she yells, and Barrett nods, not able to believe what he was hearing. She shrugs again. She was no longer able to care about her friends, he could tell. He couldn't really blame her, but still, it was a shock to his system. Fine, I'm going to find Anaxos, he yells, running to the forest. He runs fast and hard into the woods, his arms pump and his chest heaves, and then out of nowhere he collides hard with someone. Barrett falls to the ground, and when he looks up to see what he hit, Nick stares back at him. The boat is here. Go! Barrett hisses. Nick looks at him with narrowed eyes. He doesn't move. You want to get off this island, don't you? Go! Barrett says authoritatively. Nick looks him up and down without saying anything, but suddenly it all clicks for Barrett. You don't want to get off this island, do you? He asks, and slowly a grin slides across Nick's face. His eyes flash green. No, I don't, he says in perfect, unaccented English. Barrett is stunned. Nick scrambles towards him, pulling at his legs as he tries to stand. Just as Barrett gains some traction and leans up against a tree, Nick has him pinned. I'm not going anywhere. Neither are you. None of you, Nick says, and Barrett pulls away from him, breaking free from his hold. My friends were already on the boat. You won't get to them, Barrett says, and without a second thought, he turns and begins to sprint back to the beach, Nick hot on his trail. Stay away, Barrett screams, but Nick was going to catch him if he didn't speed up. He runs harder, pushing himself to the edge of the forest as it comes into sight. He breaks free of the trees as he feels his hands gripped by someone else. "Go, now!" he screeches as he sinks to his knees, Nick's elbow in his back. Nick pulls his hair, leaning his head up to look up at him. "You better stay here," Nick says, and gets up off Barrett. Barrett then stands, knowing he can't outrun or outswim Nick. As the man runs towards the boat, Barrett cups his hands around his mouth. "He's one of the others. Go now," Barrett yells, and Daniel looks at him from the boat and can hear the urgency in his voice. The tall, skinny man runs to the back of the boat, shrugging off Crystal as she tries to stop him. The engine begins to churn water as Nick starts to swim towards the boat. Barrett watches in triumph as the boat slowly spins, puttering away from Nick faster than he can swim towards it. Barrett, knowing his friends would get away, turns and runs back into the forest, but stops short, having an inkling of an idea scratching at the back of his mind. He wonders if there was anything he could really do at this moment, completely defenseless and alone. Then he has an idea. He turns towards the spot where he knows the cave is and runs, his body operating off of fumes. He reaches the cave after a long, tiresome run and falls to the sandy floor, unsure whether he could stomach one more step. He isn't sure how long he has, though, and so he stands back up and runs to the back of the cave, stomping through the river that runs through the back of it, imitating what he had done with his friends only a few days prior. The water is still icy cold, but he splashes through it until he's hidden from view. He props himself against the cave wall just out of reach of the water and then waits patiently, listening above the sound of flowing water. Eventually, he hears it, the sound of someone walking through. Barrett quietly steps back into the searing cold river, wading farther and farther back until there's no light left and he can hide in the darkness. "Barrett, come out, wherever you are," Nick calls, splashing through the water. Barrett says nothing, holding his breath as the sounds draw nearer. "Seriously, Barrett, it's cold in here. Come with me. It's better with us anyway," he shouts, and the little circle of light that signifies the entrance of the cave blinks out. Nick steps closer. "Come on, you have to come with me, you don't have a choice," he calls into the cave. Then he stops, standing in the river from what Barrett can tell. He stands there for a while, seeming to listen and wait, but Barrett doesn't dare make a peep. "I'm giving you one last chance to come willingly," Barrett hears him say in his sickening, sing-song voice. Barrett shivers, and not because of his freezing wet legs. "Fine, I'll keep looking, but I'll be back," he calls, and he wades out of the water and towards the mouth of the cave. Barrett stays in his spot, breathing silently, hoping he had a shot at Helen surviving the others. As he sat there in the dark, catching his breath from holding it, Barrett wondered, did he make a mistake not staying on the boat? Was he wrong to run into the forest after Anaxos? But then he thought of Anaxos, likely trapped in one of those holes in the ground, hungry, tired, and alone. Barrett decides to wade out of the river and flop down on the cool sand to wait for his clothes to dry out and his skin as well. As he tried to wring out his pants, another idea struck him, an idea to get Anaxos out of camp, this one much more productive and much, much more deadly. He smiles to himself. He was going to free his lover, if only to leave him again when his friends returned. Okay, what do I like about this chapter? There's not a lot, and I'll tell you why. One, I caught myself repeating words a lot. And you know I've been working on it, I have, but I've been distracted this week. Let me tell you, I've been distracted. But I caught myself repeating a lot of words, and I don't love that. I do like that something happens in this chapter. His friends are ostensibly getting away. And I like that Nick's kind of true intentions are revealed, his true nature is revealed, not that it was much of a shock to anyone. Again, these stories are rough drafts, so unless I tell you like otherwise, they're really first drafts is what I'm kind of presenting to you and saying, what's your feedback? What do you think is good about this story? And so I do like that Nick is kind of revealed as this non-hero, non-victim, basically a villain. He's a villain in disguise. I like that Nick is revealed as that. I like that he has been not a huge part of the story, and then all of a sudden he's this like unaccented, completely different person who's trying to stop everyone from getting off the island. I think that's interesting. I think it adds a level of dynamic that wasn't there before. Before it was just four lost, lonely people. And now it's three lost, lonely people and one person who's completely, obviously batshit insane, who's hooked on a plant. Now we haven't revealed, and I don't know yet exactly when Nick became evil. But I've kind of painted myself into a corner here. He can't have just come onto the island with the rest of them and eaten the plant and then suddenly became someone who spoke in perfect English. That doesn't work. So obviously there's got to be some sort of loophole and some sort of plan that he was a part of. So I've kind of got to figure that out and work it into the next few chapters. But that's what I kind of liked and didn't like about this chapter. I don't like that I repeated words. I don't like that it's kind of, I don't know, it's not like a bam chapter. Nothing crazy stuff happens, but nothing crazy dialogue-wise jumps out. Nothing is perfect yet in this chapter. In some chapters I write are perfect from the jump, or to me they feel perfect from the jump, and some of them require a little more work and polishing and combining with other chapters and this and that. And I think this is one of those chapters that when I'm not actively writing it, I can go back and say, okay, well, I can take chapter 22 and chapter 23 and squish them together, and sure, I'm one chapter short, but who really cares, because it's not that important. I'm just kind of working on trying to get into the habit of this writing style that this job that I've been offered is offering, that they're requiring. But the more I think about it and the more I kind of play with the idea, I'll be honest, I submitted three different synopsises with 10 chapter out, the first 10 chapters outlined for them. And I submitted those on December 6th, and I just heard back from them today, and they basically said one of my romance novel ideas wasn't a romance novel, which is weird because the whole premise of it is that it's a romance novel and that the two main characters are falling in love with each other. And they were like, no, we don't want that one. And then the second one was a 1950s mob kind of... Is it noir thriller? But it's like a romance novel. The two main characters fall in love right away. Or they start having sex right away because it's a romance novel. And they were like, no, historical romance novels don't do well either. And then the third one that I wrote is a shifter novel. Or the third one that I pitched to them is a shifter novel. Which is werewolves and people who shift into animals. And they liked that one, which is the one that I was like, this one's cool, but it's not really my favorite. And it's the one I kind of know the least about. I'm not super well-versed in writing shifter fiction. And they were like, yeah, go with this one, but we want you to change this, and we want you to change that, and we want you to consider not doing this and not doing that. And then I think it would be a good story. And so I'm kind of at an impasse where I'm like, is this my only shot at being, getting my foot in the door as a writer? Or do I want to take the ideas that I come up with, sell them to this company, and sign away my rights to them if they're good, and then they're not mine anymore? And even if they're not what maybe you would think is good, or somebody out there would think is good, I think they're good, and I want to keep control of them, and I don't really want to sign away the rights to them when nobody's gotten a chance to read them, on the off chance that they do well for this random serialized fiction website that takes forever to respond to me for anything. It's like the AliExpress of fiction websites. I don't know. It's like 16-year-old me's dream to write basically smut and fan fiction as a career, but I just don't know. I'm kind of caught in an impasse right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I've got a new job coming up that I'm trying to get myself psyched up for and prepared for. And I just don't know. Having a hard time. And my current job is, they are doing everything that they can to just break me down. I wish I was joking when I say this. They're working me from 8 a.m. to midnight most days. And I know for some people that's just a regular work day and this and that. But I didn't sign up to work 12-hour days with no lunch and no break. I didn't sign up for that. And I'm starting to wear myself thin. Like, my brain is just not capable of thinking that long. So I've got a lot on my plate. Plus the holidays are coming up. So I've been having a hard time. I've been having a hard time writing and finding time to be inspired and not tired and ready to put in the effort to write 1,300, 1,500, 2,000 words. But I did it. And I can say that I did it and that I recorded and that I can put this out. And so enough woe is me. Now, we're done with the woe is me. I have some wine. I still have like 4 hours of work to do, but you know, it is what it is. I'm just like, I'm just gonna go with it. I'm just gonna go with it. Anyway, I appreciate you listening or watching or however you consume this content. I would love if you could give me a 5-star rating. If you don't want to give me a 5-star rating, no big deal. I get it. Those are very precious to some people. They only give reviews and ratings to podcasts that they really love, and that's fine. If you want to email me, you can email me floorrejects@gmail.com. If you want to Twitter me something, you want to tweet me something, you can reach me at floorrejects on Twitter. I've been posting some artwork I've been working on, just kind of like randomly here and there, as well as posting usually the latest episode a couple days after it comes out, just in case anyone is following. Either way, I appreciate it. I'll be back next week, hopefully. With the holidays, I'm doing my best. I'll be back when I'll be back with a new chapter of the Four Rejects podcast, season 5 story, The Isle of Artemisia. But until then, I thank you for listening, and I thank you for being here for me, and I thank you for providing me an outlet to write and listen and talk to. So, bye.